Blog Talk Radio.
Monday. This is Nolan Davis with Creative Biz Ideas, and today is a very big day for me. And this is what I mean by that is one of my, I would say, partners, very good friend, kind of a life coach for me, Sunita Trevino, the brain coach, is going to be on today. And we're going to talk about mission statements. She's been on the show before. We've talked about purpose and how important purpose is and how that can help you focus. And since then, her and I, we've been working together on a project called Cornerstone Institute, and we're going to be launching that here very shortly via the internet with some webcasting and some things that I have the capabilities of doing from Vids, Inc. And we've been working on this project for a while, and it's really about to come to fruition. And so very excited. But sometimes, you know, just getting your purpose, I mean, that is a very huge deal. It's something that a lot of people lay awake late at night because they have no idea really what they're supposed to be doing. And then when you get that purpose, it's absolutely a great thing. I have my purpose statement, and she actually helped me develop my purpose statement. But the thing is that once you get a purpose statement, how do you infuse that purpose with your company's mission statement? And then how do you align employees and teams to really feel that mission statement and move forward? So we're going to bring Sunita in a little bit, but I first want to say hello to my co-host, one of the bad boys of business, Chris Burris of eWeb Styles. Chris, are you there?
Good morning, Nolan Davis. How are you doing?
Man, I am doing fabulous, sir. Absolutely
fabulous.
You have
fabulous. A good weekend?
I did, actually, and I thought about you this weekend because I went to the restaurant. You sent me the gift card because this was my weekend, anniversary weekend. So,
congratulations. Which anniversary?
This is 14 years married, 20 years together. I'm kind of like a genius, Chris Burris. So what I did was I know how women think a little bit, right? So I was really on the situation of trying to simplify my life in the future. So what I did was I tried to get married on the same exact day that we started dating. And I just, So that way, it's one celebration. I don't need to be like, the day we kissed was April, the day we held hands was May. I don't need all of that, right? So
yep.
I started dating my wife on July 19th, and then we got married on July 21st. I promise you I was trying my best to make it the 19th, but I'll take the 21st. So it's 2 days later, but it's one big celebration. So this last week was 14 years married, 20 years together, and I'm still chasing my wife around the house like we just got together yesterday is what that is.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's
dinner,
why I'm in great shape.
Dinner was
shape.
Good, I hope.
Dinner was fabulous, sir. Dinner was fabulous. And we're going to have to talk about the next time you get me one of those gift cards. We're going to have to up the ante some so we can get dessert and do all of those
things. You're like, I got a card, I'm covered. You're like, how much?
Right, exactly. I was like, so this card is only covering one steak, right? It's like, we really would like two steaks, but this is only covering one steak? Like, okay, we're going to have to talk to Chris Burris. How was your weekend, sir?
Mine was very good. I got to admit, I'm a little confused. I took my kids to swim class. Of course, I want them to be safe in the water. My son has this propensity. He has absolutely no fear of water in not yet the ability to get his head above water, which is really a terrifying combination of personality traits, right? Personality and skill set. Literally, he has no fear. He's like, look, here I go. And he's under and I'm like, all right, here's my hand.
right.
Anyway, so we're taking him to swim class, and I decide during swim class, I'm going to swim. I've always been a good swimmer. I've just never been on a team or anything. So I mm-hmm. swam for like 20 minutes, and I took breaks, and I was pretty tired between those breaks, and I was expecting to be super sore, and I'm not sore, and I'm just very confused. Did I work out? Did I not work? Did I just try and kill myself for nothing? I don't know.
Wait, did it happen yesterday or the day before yesterday?
It was on Saturday, so the day before.
Right, so you should be sore today. Because sometimes it skips a day because it builds up, right? Okay, all right.
So my only thing is I'm thinking, because I did sleep a lot yesterday. Like, I went to sleep early. I took the kids to the Minion movie, and I slept through half of it. So maybe it just wore me out, and I didn't work any one muscle group enough to be sore. It's just very – I'm confused.
Oh, well, that
– great weekend.
No. That explains it, because I've worked out hard enough to where I've just exhausted my soul, right? And it's just like I'm so tired somewhere, but I can't point to like one muscle or area of where it is. It's just my existence has been exhausted, and so
right.
I sleep. Yeah, so that's what you did. Not a problem.
Okay. Well, it's good. So it was a nice, even all body workout that didn't result in any specific sore spots.
Exactly. It's like, if you hurt all over, do you really hurt? Like, can you really point to one place? Like, it's all the norm now is what it is. So it's that type
Don't
of situation.
Touch Nobody touch that, me.
Right, exactly. Now, before we get into our special guest, I do want to give a shout out to my wife. On Thursday, she lost her grandfather. And I just want to say a little something about his name is Sonny Amos. Sonny was one of the greatest guys I ever met in my life. He made me feel like he was my very own grandfather. Mm-hmm. And plenty of times, and he's a mechanic. And my wife has a huge family, and she has like 1,000 uncles, like literally 1,000. Like, we have an uncle that can do anything. So the grandfather and Uncle Tony would work on my car. She has an uncle that was a pilot, so if we needed buddy passes, we just call Uncle Cal. She has an uncle that builds computers, so if I needed anything. Remember when the StarTech phone came out? He used to actually work at Motorola. And so he would he was part of like the launch of new phones. So any of the newest phones, and if I needed a computer, anything that had to do with software, anything that had to do with downloading or streaming movies, he has hacking, anything. He has all of that covered. So when the StarTech phone came out, I had it before anybody had it, the first flip phone, like months before. So he would just put us on the list and say, look, we got some new phones. We want you to test them out. So I was walking around like Star Trek for real. Like, so her family is very, very close knit, right? And all of that comes from the grandfather, right? So it's that type of situation. So I'll be going to Chicago this week. But man, I just wanted to say, Sonny Amos, man, we love you. And put that vibe out there. And everybody who's from the family, they know exactly what I mean. He was the man's man. Anytime grown men had problems, he was the dude that grown men called, and he would solve their problems. He was that hot. So just wanted to put that out there for my wife and the family. That's about it. But we have a great show in store for you today. We do have Sunita Trevino, the brain coach. I talked a little bit about her when we first got on the phone, and I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. Ms. Sunita, are you there?
Good morning, Nolan. I am here.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I listened how you and Chris chime on. So, like, I got to bring that kind of energy. So I'm sitting here having a strong cup of coffee because I want to bring that kind of energy to the show just like you do.
Oh, well, I appreciate that you think we bring energy. I really, you know, it's not really so much as energy as it is that I say something stupid and then Chris makes fun of me. So everybody's laughing. So you think it's energy. It's like, man, they made me feel so good. When really it was just Chris cracking jokes on Nolan Davis is what that is. And so that's what it is usually.
Man, I was trying to keep that a secret. I was hoping that you wouldn't figure that out.
I figured it out a long time ago. But the listeners seem to love it, so it's not a problem. I'm cool with it. We're rolling with it. So Sunita, you've been on the show before. We've talked a little bit about purpose. Talk to me a little bit about your background before we get started on the mission statement and how important purpose is.
Definitely. And first I wanted to say that you and I have talked about personal purpose and truly the energy that you bring. And Chris, no disrespect, I just don't know you, so I couldn't speak personally to you about you, but knowing Nolan Davis, he surrounds himself with winners. So Chris, I'm sure you are. But Nolan, you work with such purpose. That's where I think your energy comes from. If we really want to go deep and talk about it, I know that you believe this show is a extension of who you are and why you exist. So that's one of the reasons. And that's the way you raise your kids, and that's the way you are with your family. So when we talk about purpose, you're an excellent example of how you bring energy, excitement, authenticity, commitment to different areas of your life because you're living on purpose. But,
well, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's great. It's great because as we come back to company purpose, which I know is a subject today in company mission, I think you're a great example for the listeners to get what it sounds like to be a man or a woman on purpose. So my background, which was your question, I'm an immigrant from India, grew up around entrepreneurs. And in my life, I saw people go through struggles and some made it and some didn't. I was fascinated by why some people made it and some people didn't. I was fascinated why, among the ones that made it, what was that differentiation? You know, what was it that high achievers had? And then I looked at, well, okay, now if you're a high achiever, what makes you a high achiever that's in love with your life. So I looked at the different things, and in my personal life, as I went through my trials, I looked at the thing that helped me get through it. And so what I came up with is there's got to be this pull, a calling. And then I started doing some testing. I am candidated right now for my PhD through the University of Chicago. And what I found was I started looking at brainwave activity. I'm actually trained to do brain treatments, biofeedback. And in that training and in working with people, I saw the brain hit something called an alpha wave, which is this magical sort of brainwave. And I tried to get to the brain to get to alpha, like consistently. And one of the things that I found that would get people to alpha is when they were talking about it, about their life and about challenges that they'd overcome and how they'd overcome them. So, you know, I mean, literally I had people plugged into this computer with probes sticking out of their head with this little cap on, it's like a swimming cap with wires sticking out of it. And I've been talking to them and I'm watching the screen and I'm looking at the brain activity, just exciting stuff. And so I got, what I figured out was there was something there. There was something that they experiences in their life that they were trials, but they also were a source of joy. Started looking around, learning more about literature, and came across this theory, which is now being proven if you look at current business scales. But I'll tell you more about that. I know you want to know more about me, but see, there I go, talking about my purpose. But that's a little bit about me. I own several businesses still, and I'm taking my doctorate and my series out to the business world, and it's awesome to see there's actually evidence now about it. That's a little bit about me.
Got you. Now, just so everybody knows that Sunita has helped me with my purpose statement. And so my purpose statement is I exist to serve by providing opportunities for people to reveal their greatness and inspiring others through my example. And the thing is that it couldn't be more true because I show people's greatness through video. That's why I'm so into what I do, even through the limitations that I have, depending on what your area looks like, depending on your presentation skills. None of that actually matters. I can still make you look like a cinematic movie star through what I do. And in my mind, that is really revealing your greatness. And then there's other things that I do, just like Creative Biz Ideas, to showcase people and what they have the capabilities of doing. And I really feel that one of the things that I have the ability to do is to see potential in people. So when she gave me this, as we unraveled or peeled each layer of this onion back, as we got to the heart of it and really in the center of what I felt like I was here to do, it just really was like an aha moment of, oh, that's why I like this. That's why I gravitate to this. That's why I'm so loyal. That's why, you know, all of these things. And then living through my example is one of the reasons I try so hard, right? So it's one of those things of wanting to be a model and inspiring others through my example. Now, that's my own person. Yes.
I wanted to ask, because I didn't want to just step over, I wanted the listeners to hear, when you said your purpose, and I want, just answer me honestly, as you said those words and they came out of your mouth, did you almost have a visual of how that got created? Do you remember how we went through the process of creating that?
Yes.
And a lot of people, okay, good. A lot of people don't realize those words don't just fall out of your mouth. They actually, if you could see someone speaking their purpose, if they've been through the purpose process, there's actually a process that we take people through, and Nolan is becoming a partner with me on this, where we take people through where those words mean something. and they actually cause almost a visceral reaction in the body. Because of my training in biofeedback, that was my goal. It's not just, you know, you're just saying it like some empty mission statement like a lot of people have. When you said
right.
it, I don't know if the listeners were aware that the way you said it, in this, if people were really listening, it wasn't just like bleh, like something you throw up. You said
right.
it, and I could hear it in you, like it resonated, and you owned. That's the key, though, is to own every single word, and that's what the purpose process does: is you own those words. The other thing I saw was it was always there. Remember, your purpose was always there, so. You just identified it, and it's like electricity. It was always there. But when Benjamin Franklin said, okay, this is electricity, and he labeled it, then we could use it. So you've always had it, my friend, always had. You always were living with this calling, and you knew it. I think you knew it. But having put it into words and being able to share it with people readily, like here, boom, here's my purpose statement. That was the power, and now, I mean, I just see you as unstoppable.
Well, thank you. It was like a verbal erection. It was. I totally agree. So here's what.
Okay. that's good. I'm glad you boiled that down because I believe that's exactly what Shanita was going for.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. So I didn't.
Can I put that in my book?
Absolutely. So you heard it here first, people. And this is just from the silliness of Monday morning. This is what we do on Mondays. So absolutely. So now let's talk about the mission statement of the company, right? So when you have your purpose, how do we take that purpose and, you know, put it in a cocoon and it morphs into a mission statement that can also keep you focused on what that mission statement is, and then get your employees and your teams on board to feel as if they are a part of your mission statement, which is really linked to your purpose. How do we do that?
Yeah. Well, if you could give me an example of a typical client you might deal with, and I'll show you how to morph that. Can you? Because I could give you one, but you give me one that you're dealing with.
A client that I'm dealing with
like,
right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh, like
I don't necessarily know people's mission statement, but I have one company that I just finished doing their videos, which are so cinematic and hot, by the way. I just have to throw that in there. Is a Village Frame Gallery.
Okay.
And they actually, her big thing is framing, you know, people's memories for a lifetime, right? So
yeah.
Really customizing the frame, not just to go with the decor, but to really represent the memory itself.
Okay. So let's take a look at this one. And now if I sat down with that individual first, right off the top of my head, and I'm just guessing, if she, and I wrote it down, you said framing memories for a lifetime. So
mm-hmm.
I could guess and say that if I was to sit with her, her personal purpose has something to do with why she's doing that. So if I sat with her and I probably went back and we did the purpose process with her, we would find that there's some deep meaning, personal gratification that she gets out of doing that. So you can see how her personal purpose is being lived, and she may not know it, and most people don't, is being lived in her business. And there's the connection to be made. So let's just pretend, you know, make it up, that her personal purpose had to do with in her life, she never felt valued. I'm just, you know, taking a stab at it. That some of the toughest times in her life, she didn't feel like people valued her contribution. So it's really interesting how we find ways to get that complete in our lives. We find this need that exists in the world. So then we do things without really being aware of it to get that need met. So photography may be her way of feeling valued, because you can capture successful moments. You can capture happy moments. So I would tell her, I would say, okay, if your purpose in life is to bring worthiness, to bring self-worth to people, how do you do that in photography? And we would create how that, a purpose statement that has the very important components of service in it, and providing that service to to some population. So you listen to the purpose statement. It goes, I exist to serve by, and there's an action, and there's an organization, a group of people, or that they do that for. Someone might exist to serve by, like, for example, me, I exist to serve by liberating greatness for people and organizations. Now, why do I own that? Why is that mine? Because in my life as an immigrant, I was discriminated very often, and I was judged and stereotyped, especially in the 70s as an immigrant into New York State, where I didn't look like everybody else. So I want to liberate greatness because that's what I craved, and I can own that. Now, in my business, what does that look like? Originally, as when I was working very actively as a financial advisor and consultant in finance, I used money and teaching money strategies as a way to liberate greatness, because I figured if I could take the money issue out of the equation, people would be able to be free. So that was the way I lived it then. Now I take the same purpose statement, and how do I do that in my clinical practice, and how do I do that as a PhD? Well, you and I are up to that in our project with Cornerstone Institute. We are out, and I just take my personal statement and turn it into the company statement and change it. So you and I now take your personal statement, take my personal statement, and we're able to come together with their Cornerstone Institute statement, and they're an extension of you and I. And what we're finding is the research is showing, so exciting, the research coming out of universities of Rochester, and I just looked at another study that came out of, I've got it right in front of me, that came out of the University of Michigan, showed that when employees come into a situation or any conflict arises, there's automatic thoughts that exist. I mean, that's just part of what the brain does. It doesn't really think actively, it just reacts. But if situations are filtered through a purpose, if a conflict is filtered through a purpose, it serves as a goal that now can alter the conflict. Because, see, let's say you and I have a disagreement, but you and I are in agreement on the purpose of the Cornerstone Institute, which that happens, right? You're just, you know, you're good at what you're good at, I'm good at what I'm good at, and we come with two different ideas and two different views. But what we agree on is the reason the Cornerstone Institute exists, the purpose of Cornerstone Institute. So what happens is when we go through those filters, there is possibility, there is an alignment that is made, that's made available, that's not normally made available without purpose. So that's how purpose gets formed, and that's the reason for purpose. So if you can imagine employees, now they all got their personal purposes, right? And
right.
When I first started doing this, I wanted the most difficult. How would you motivate someone to make chicken? I mean, I dealt with a company here locally that had chicken production. I mean, they fried chicken. And I thought, how do I go to a person and get them to be excited about frying chicken?
Wait, I got it. You sold them that chicken was absolutely delicious. and they got their ass in there and they made it, is what that is. I feel good about that. I'm confident.
No,
that's what you
no.
did, Janita.
I think
I'm
you
pretty...
offered them a drumstick for every full chicken they cooked.
Exactly.
And you know, and not, and actually, you know, I love that you guys said that, because the current, I'm big into research, and Nolan knows that. I mean, I need empirical evidence. The world of business is really getting this now, like in a big way, which is exciting for us. But if you get into TED Talks and listen to employee retention conversation, if you listen to the latest in how do we keep our employees organically motivated, what they're finding is, and there's a great talk about this lady that cleans toilets at this million-dollar hotel, and she cleans toilets like nobody cleans toilets, because she's not cleaning toilets. See, those people are not frying chicken. The chicken maker, she is making a meal for her, because her personal purpose was mothers and children to have time together, because that's what she didn't get with her mom. So when she makes that chicken, she is not frying chicken. To her, she's making a meal so a mother can pick it up in the drive-thru and take it home and enjoy time with her children rather than be stuck in the kitchen. Now, you would never know that. All you see is this happy chicken maker. And she's
right.
frying chicken. And she can fry chicken. She can fry chicken like there's no tomorrow. And she takes personal attention into frying that chicken. That's what purpose does. That's how it works for employees. Now, imagine the owner of the company, and he's having, what you call that? He's having, well, we won't say it, but he's having an amazing experience with his employee, because he doesn't have to worry about paying her more.
I believe that's illegal.
Or bonuses necessarily. I'm not saying don't bonus.
That's Chris Burris. That's not even me. I don't even know how you didn't hear what he just said under his breath. But I'm laughing at Chris Burris, because I can tell you're about to point the finger at me like, Nolan Davis, what are you doing over there? That is all Chris Burris.
Come on, I didn't come up with the phrase. This was Nolan. And
all I'm saying, I was still thinking that that's some. If I could only get a piece of chicken from that chick, I'm like, that sounds like some good ass chicken. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then Chris Burr said something else, and that messed up everything. But I'm listening to you, Sunita. Go ahead.
Now, Chris, I know Nolan and I've talked about this, but since you're new to the material, because I tend to be very, I don't know, Nolan helps me with this, but I tend to be very science, and I talk real big theoretics. Does that make sense to you? Am I communicating what happens like that with purpose?
No, I think you're being very clear, and I appreciate it. So I can't imagine that, well, at least the audience that we care about would be lost on things that you're saying.
Okay, cool.
Right.
Because this thing, now, by the way, this happened. It's not like I invented this. Like, again, like Benjamin Franklin and electricity, it was always there. And you'll find if you go to places, like the other day I went with a friend and there was a caddy at this golf course. And, man, what a caddy. And I don't play golf, but my friend plays golf, and she and her husband are talking about this caddy is unstoppable. I mean, like, he's got the right club when you need it. He's one step ahead. And, you know, what is that? And when you sit down and you talk to the guy, he's geeked up. Like, he's emotionally involved in the game of golf, and he's a caddy. And so when you get down to it, he bumped into his purpose. He's kind of like, well, I love it because of this. But he never had a purpose statement, and he wasn't actively sharing it, so it was kind of dormant. It was there. He could feel it. And the people that worked with him knew something was up. This is an unusually good caddy. And so it's like that, because then you get like, I gave him his mission statement, his purpose statement. We sat there in about 20 to 30 minutes, got it for him. And of course, he was crying and he had a physical reaction. And he started seeing, just like Nolan said, he started seeing how his whole life he had been living his purpose. I mean, the things that turned him on, the jobs that he enjoyed were actually an extension of that. And then to see it all come together, he had a sense of peace, a sense of clarity. And that day forward, he shares it. And there's and Nolan and I have been working on how to help people. Once you get it, how do you make it so it's intentionally there? And the fact that we know anti-aging, and we've been looking at the effects of Alzheimer's, and how do we reverse aging? How do we, and what we found is at the DNA level, and I'm talking about changing your physical component by speaking purpose and reason for existence. What we know is that when you feel like you've got something outside of yourself, bigger than you, and that you get up in the morning with that understanding, what we're talking about is people are living longer, healthier, happier lives. And so I'm just so excited about running. I run around all day helping. I was at an airport helping some lady, you know, in between flights find a purpose the other day. But it's so cool.
So last question. What are the elements after you figure out what your purpose is, what are the elements that you need to have in your mission statement? So I know you made the statement earlier about service, and I know service is in your purpose statement as well. So in your mission statement, you will have service and what else?
Exist. I serve. I exist to serve. So everybody, and you said it earlier, Nolan, historically, human beings have questioned, why am I alive? It's just so basic. And if we could give that answer to people, and here's what I want y'all to know. We don't give you your purpose statement. The purpose process, it's always there, right? But we don't identify it. So when you can have an answer to why you exist. Why do you get up in the morning? So that's besides the service part of the key component is really getting that your life has a reason for existence. And it is based on service for many, many reasons. On the research side of it, we know that intrinsically, we've studied our DNA, and we're finding that human beings have a DNA component for altruism. And this is coming out of the University of Berkeley, where we're looking at psychobiologists, which is combining psychology and biology, and we're finding that in our cellular, at the cellular level, we have this need to feel like our life had some meaning, like we made a difference, and to do good. And there's a great book called Born to Be Good. And he's a psychology biologist and talks about this, what he's encountering, studying human beings and human evolution and all of that at the cellular level and looking at what pulls us at the very basic of our DNA, and that's what we're finding. We're finding that there are brain structures called mirror neurons that propel us into this need to be apathetic. We can get people at a level that we're not even conscious of. So existence, service are the key components. And it's a doing. It's an action. Because even though, you know, as human beings, really, and that's a whole nother day we could talk about that, we think that we have to be doing something to have something, and that's very human. But truly what we know, laws of physics, and even on a biblical level, it's not about that. It's really about a human being and being that mentally that does a doing. That doing comes after the being. But in our mission statement, in our purpose statement, what we find is that it gives us a doing, which we crave as human beings, even though it's not really, it speaks to our flesh. Even though purpose is more about the higher self, beyond the doing, the daily activity, the brain needs a doing. The brain needs, what am I supposed to do? What does it look like? So the purpose statement actually gives you sort of an action plan.
Right.
Crave. So those are the key elements. I don't know if there's something else you were thinking about that I missed.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just want to make a statement that she's saying that you need to really get your mind together first of just being who you are as far as your purpose is, and it's not just all about doing. And I think the doing comes a little bit more natural after that, because I know people that are extremely lazy. So I'm letting them know right now, you still have to do something, right? Don't listen to this and just say, oh, I could just be. I've been like this for a long time, so it's coming. So obviously I'm just can be whoever I am, but you still have to do something. So, Sunita, I definitely want to probably get you on the show next month. We have some big things going on next month. I'm coming to San Antonio on the 7th to do some of the videos that we're going to do as we launch everything that we're going to launch. So I appreciate you being on the show, and I look forward to you being on the show next month. Is there anything that you want to leave people with really quick before we go?
You know, as people are listening to this, and if you're in traditional business and you've been, even especially if you're MBA, or a lot of people think that this is soft skill conversation maybe. And I want to make sure the audience understands there is no doubt in the current research that what Nolan and I and Chris are talking about this morning translates into dollars and cents. Money follows passion. And if you can turn your business into a passion for yourself and your employees or your team, you're going to be unstoppable. There are companies now like Zappos, if anybody's interested in Googling that, and looking at what Twitter and Google are doing at the level of the higher ups, they're talking about the reason for the existence of the company. And so I want to make sure that people don't think this is some feel-good, psychology, positive thinking, quite the contrary. Purpose, understanding the reason for existence, the concept of service is hardcore business reality today. Businesses are not going to make it if their primary focus is increasing dollars or stock value. Those come as a result of aligning yourself with something bigger than dollars and cents. But yeah, thank you. Thank you, Nolan. Thanks for the privilege of being on the call today.
All right. Thanks for being with us, and I look forward to talking to you next month. Ladies and gentlemen, Sunita Trevino. She is also known as the Brain Coach, and her and I together are doing some things under the brand of Cornerstone Institute. Now, we are running a little bit behind, so we do have the number one coach in the world on hold, on the phone. I just met with him this past weekend, Mr. Doug Winnie. Doug Winnie, are you there, sir?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning,
Mr.
Winnie.
Doing great. Doing great. She just said that money follows passion, and I'm a very passionate guy, so that made me feel very hopeful. So, what you got, Doug? What you got?
Well, I just looking through my LinkedIn while I was waiting for y'all, and one of my senior action coaches in the Action Coach system, been with Action Coach for 14, 15 years now, has just published, actually 0 minutes ago, a new post that said, "Spirit is the secret to profit." And so just like passion, I mean, if you've got the right spirit, you've got the right passion, then yes, you will be very wealthy, happy, and hopefully healthy as well. So today, I want to talk about strategic alliances, but you know, given the subject of the day, maybe we can talk about something else.
Strategic alliance is fine. You know, we like to actually have a couple of different tips, a couple of different veins, so we can just reach out to everybody. We were talking about purpose a little bit earlier, but man, you know, that to have a purposeful alliance to see the people that you really need to align your business with that falls under your purpose and your mission statements is a powerful thing as well. So let's go.
Yeah. The part of the, you know, you do introduce me as the number one business coach in the world, and that is true in the Action Coach system. About 1,000 of us, and I need to be number one. The reason I re-mention that is because of purpose, because of what I believe my mission is. And because of that, I call it my why. Why I do what I do, and, you know, I say wear your why on your sleeve. Always be wearing your why. And because I've done that, because I've been passionate about that, I did go from coach 1181 to coach number one because of the passion, because of the why. And so, you know, in the theme of today, I just want to re-mention the fact that, yes, that is the reason action coaches ask me all the time, how did I get, you know, inducted into this Hall of Fame in the Action Coach system and half the speed that anyone else ever has? How did I get to be number one, you know, faster than anybody else? How did I get this level called the Million Dollar Coach faster than anyone else? It's all because of my mission or my why. So I promise you, Elon Musk has one. It's much, much, much bigger than mine and most of ours, and that's to free the world from, you know, from things. Free the world from the world itself is why he has a space program. Free the world from having to drive a car, which is why he has autopilot in electric cars. So understand you may not know your why, but certainly figure out how to get it because it will help you immensely. So today, strategic alliances. A strategic alliance is very different than a referral partner. They do give you referrals. However, a strategic alliance is someone you want to be on stage with, someone that you want to share your database with, someone that you know, really do believe that the two of you or multiples of you can grow firms, can grow a great business. So you want to figure out who do you want to have strategic alliances with. Inside the Action Coach system, we have a strategic alliance star. So if you were just to picture an eight-pointed star, in the center of the star is your business or your industry, and we would call that the hub. And so you are the hub. So if we use Chris Burrs as a website SEO company focused on results, then we would pick eight different industries for his business and just industries. So, you know, one of the industries that could be beneficial for Chris might be a bookkeeping or CPA industry. So thinking about doing, you know, trade shows with a bookkeeping company, doing presentations also with a bookkeeping company. And, you know, first step is coming up with eight different industries. Once you have those eight industries picked, then you go out and you find five companies in that industry. You don't have to know them yet. You can get them out of the book of lists or the book of leads, I call it, from Houston Business Journal. You can get them onto the yellow pages. You can Google them. Anywhere you can go and get these five different companies in that industry is the next step. Find out who in that organization could be the director of marketing, could be the owner. Depends on the size of that company. And you start building a relationship. You don't call and say, hey, I'm doing a show and would love to, you know, share a booth with you. That's sort of like jumping in bed before the first date. So you need to nurture the relationship, have multiple meetings, probably five or six, maybe seven meetings, before you even send out an email blast for each other. You need to be very compatible, need to understand each company's mission. What is their purpose? What are they trying to achieve? Does that match with yours? If it's a good match, then you probably can have a good relationship together. So you know, it's a pretty simple concept. Find 8 industries that match with yours, find 5 companies inside of those industries, and then start having meetings with them. At least 5 meetings before you start to really seriously discuss, you know, connecting and doing things together.
One thing that I like to add is that if you could find the place where the lady makes the chicken, because it sounds like that's going to be a delightful meeting. I mean, a meeting with good chicken, I mean, it has no way but up is really what
I
that
bet
is.
I bet you know some great place for chicken.
I just go to Popeyes, man. But Sunita was talking about a lady that's making chicken that's trying to change the world, and I was just thinking that that might be some good-ass chicken is what that is. So Doug, how can somebody get in contact with you so you can show them step-by-step, play-by-play, how to do all of these amazing things that you talk about on our show? How can they get in contact with you, sir?
Well, certainly you can always come check us out. We do have a monthly presentation at the Houston West Chamber of Commerce. It's the last Wednesday of the month, so ours is next, or actually this Wednesday. Come on by. It's 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. You can check it out at hwcoc.org. You can go to our website, Business as a Tool. I do believe the businesses are tools, a tool for happiness. So you can go to our website, www.businessasatool.com. There's that old-fashioned mechanism called the telephone. You can call us 713-936-3814, 713-936-3814. And you can always use that email thing. My email address is Doug Winnie, W-I-N-N-I-E, spelled like Winnie the Pooh or Winnie, Texas, DougWinnie@actioncoach.com.
Got you. Hey, Doug, I just need you to understand that your video is going to be hot as hell. And
I bet.
You should have it by tomorrow. I was working on it this weekend. I need, I don't know if you saw my email, but I need some pictures. But other than that, it's hot.
Traveling, huh?
Yes. As you talked about going to some of those places, I would like to get, you know, some of those pictures. That would be great. Just one or two of each place would be great.
Okay. I will try.
Okay. If you can't, let me know soon so I could just, because I still can do something without it, but I'm telling you, it's going to be hot. You actually will probably walk around with a small screen just to show people this is who I am. Hey, I'm Doug Winnie. Watch this. Like, it's going to be kick-ass is what that is. So, ladies and gentlemen, Doug Winnie, thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Doug.
Take care.
All right. So, yeah, I'm doing a video for Doug. It's definitely going to be hot. I need you guys to look forward to seeing it. And now we're going to get some legal advice from our very own attorney, Mark Smith. Mark left us hanging last week, but he's with us this week. Mark, what's up, sir?
How are you, Nolan? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Hanging in there.
All right. So we went a little bit over earlier on purpose. So I'm sorry. We didn't go over on purpose. We went a little bit over on never mind, Mark. Don't worry about it. So, Mark, what you got for us today, guy? Just give me a little something from the legal aspect of things, and then we'll be wrapping up the show. What you got for us today, sir?
Well, I'll be real quick. I was going to tell you, it's a little bit of a recap of the topic that we've talked about earlier, but talking about the difference between an employee and an independent contractor. You know, a lot of businesses say, well, I just want to hire you, you know, pay you $10.99 and you take out all your taxes and whatnot because they don't want to pay that nasty payroll tax. But there's actually a bunch of different tests that, you know, various federal, state, and local organization or local governments have as to whether, you know, a person is actually an employee or an independent contractor. The reason this came up, the Department of Labor just issued a 15-page memo about a week or so ago, and just kind of reminding everybody of what their test is. And they've got a 6-part test. I'm just going to go through it real quick. So
okay.
It's called the economic realities test. And so they look at the six factors of whether the work performed is integral to the employer's business, the worker's opportunity for profit and loss, the extent of investment of the employer and of the work. So, you know, how much investment, like in tools and whatnot, does the employee or the independent contractor have? What special skills or initiative they have, the permanency of the relationship, and the degree of control exercised by the employer. So, you know, when the Department of Labor, when the Wage and Hour Division comes in and looks at your business relationship with a particular person, they're going to apply that test. Now, reason I wanted to say that specific to Wage and Hour is, you know, the Texan, you know, to determine whether it's an employee under, say, workers' comp in Texas might be a little bit different. And what I think I might do for a future blog post and a discussion maybe for next week is just kind of give everyone some ideas of how there are differences between the state definitions and the federal definitions. So in one instance, somebody might be an independent contractor, but in another instance, they might be considered an employee for, say, workers' comp purposes. So, you know, I guess the tip that goes along with that is, you know, just, you know, really if you have a question and it's specific to, you know, whether it's wage and hour or, you know, workers' comp or, you know, another situation, consult with your handy business attorney and, you know, come up with an idea of whether that employee or that person fits as an employee or they truly are independent.
Got you. Now, Mark, if somebody wanted to contact you, and I actually will be contacting you this week, and I need to follow up and talk about doing some things together like we initially planned.
Right.
And I know that you moved into this nice, new, beautiful office, so give me some information on how to see this nice, big, beautiful office.
Well, two best ways are to, you know, as Doug said, use that old-fashioned version of the telephone. 281-489-3934 is the number. Or you can always look me up on my website, which is jmsmithlaw.com. And see, just take a look at the website. You can always fill out the contact request form, and that comes straight to me.
It's funny that you guys, both of you guys, talking about the old-fashioned thing, the phone, because we were watching TV, and my oldest son was watching something on Nickelodeon, and somebody had a brick phone. And he started laughing, and he was like, "What is that?" I was like, that was the humble beginnings of what you have now, son.
Right.
He was like, "That's a phone?" I was like, "Yes," and it doubled as a weapon. So, Mark Smith,
yes,
thank you so much for being on the show, sir.
Thanks, Nolan. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Absolutely.
Bye.
All right. Now, I need a tip from my co-host, Chris Burris. Is it eWeb results now?
We've got one more week. I think I was supposed to look at the calendar, and I didn't. And let's see if I go. Yeah, well, next week we will be eWeb results. This week we're still in the style.
Right, but see, you let everybody know you had the style first, and now that you get results, it all goes hand in hand. What you got for us, Chris?
All right, so our tip is make sure to include remarketing in any and all online marketing strategies you implement, right? And so if you've been at one of my lunch and learns, I'll ask everyone, hey, if you know what remarketing is, raise your hand. And then usually, you know, one or two in the room will raise their hand. And then I say, okay, well, let's flip this up. Everybody raise your hand because you have all experienced remarketing. Remarketing is when you're shopping for something. And throughout the day, throughout the next, really it's typically 3 months, that thing you were shopping for haunts you or harasses you. So you're looking for shoes, you go over to ESPN, and you see those exact same shoes you were looking for. I'm sure that experience has happened to you. Right, Nolan?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
So that's remarketing. From every study that you can possibly imagine, remarketing has a very high return on expenditure. And there's a couple of ways to do remarketing, well, a couple platforms, really. And so you want to make sure you're doing remarketing with your Google ads. You want to make sure you're doing remarketing with Facebook so that, you know, again, when somebody's shopping for something on your website, they visit your website, they've stopped at Vids Inc.'s new website, and then they go to Facebook and they're like, hey, don't forget to come back and visit us because you need a video or whatever that ad says. It's highly effective and very cost effective. And you know, we can certainly help you with that here at eWebStyle or next week with eWeb Results.
God, you had me go to my website thinking that it was all real. Oh, you see, new. I was like, do I have a new website? Let me see. Let me see.
I think we're wrapping up content for you.
Okay. Now, actually, I need to talk to Charles about a little bit extra content from WebBlast, which is I just bought the machine to do it this weekend, and it's absolutely awesome. It's so high tech, and I feel like the bomb is what that is. I feel like the bomb. Like
you feel
my
like
purpose
you're not
here is done.
Carrying that brick cell phone.
I am not. I am back to the first StarTech, the first flip phone, like the golden black phone back in the day. I promise you, I was a badass back in the day. They were like, oh my God, where did that phone come? I know you want one, but it won't come out for 6 months.
My
name is Nolan Davis, and I'm from the future, right? People are like, where are you from? I'm from Indiana. No, I'm from the future is what that is. So, yeah.
From the future. Yeah.
All right, I wanted to say what now?
I'm from the future, and it looks bright.
Exactly. This is technology that you mere mortals won't get for another 6 to 8 months is what that is. So I like to think
you're only really hot for 6 to 8 months.
Exactly. So I like to thank Sunita for coming out, being on the show, talking to us about purpose and mission and how important that is. I like to thank Doug Winnie for talking about how his passion, and actually when you watch his video, you're going to see some of his passion in his video. And I'd like to thank Mark Smith as well for, you know, giving us the legal tips. And Chris, I'd like to thank you as well. Always come on, you bring good energy, the whole nine. Is there anything you'd like to do before we wrap up, sir?
Well, just how can people contact us if they're interested in that remarketing? Just visit our website. It's e-webstyle.com. Also, ewebresults.com already works, so it gets you to the right space. Just the logo doesn't match. And check out our website. Get a free website analysis. There is a free website analysis form on that page. Fill that out, and we'll give you a free website analysis.
All right. I want people to know that we are working on a new format of the show, and it is definitely involving video. So here at Creative Biz Ideas, we do understand that an idea is not a plan, and a plan still needs execution, but it all starts from an idea. My name is Nolan Davis, and my co-host is Chris Burris. We are the Bad Boys of Biz, and I appreciate you tuning in. And until next week, love to live, live to love, and be well.
Creative Biz Ideas, creativebizideas.com.